Today, a lot of people tend to think this way. If you want something, you're going to have to earn it. And in many areas of our lives, this is certainly true. If you wanted to get into your dream college, you had to study hard in high school and earn good grades. If you'd like to be successful in business, you have to work hard to climb the ladder and earn your promotions. And we are thrilled and feel immensely satisfied when we see things like this come true for us. Some people look at their relationship with God in the same way. They think, if I'm going to be right with God, I'm going to have to earn it. This can happen even to us. Have we caught ourselves thinking that if we go to church on Sunday and study the Word throughout the week, then God will be happy with us? Or does the fact that we've been good most of our life give us the comfort that we're looking for? Today, Jesus teaches us that this mindset does not work when it comes to life with God. As difficult as it may be to grasp, the question is not, how do I earn this? Jesus has a free gift for us. It's like a banquet or a feast where we find all of his blessings for us. But we do not get into this feast on our own. Rather, we trust that Jesus has already earned entry to this feast for us. Tonight in the Gospel from Luke 13, as previously read, Jesus teaches us to strive to enter the feast. There is one key to the door, and there is little time to enter. As Jesus was making his way to Jerusalem, somebody asked him, "Lord, are only a few people going to be saved?" But Jesus didn't really answer his question. Instead, he said, "Make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to." In his answer, Jesus described the way to life with God as one that ends at this narrow door. So what is this door? Earlier in Luke 13, Jesus had been preaching, "Unless you repent, you too will all perish." And since the beginning of his ministry on earth, Jesus had been preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." John the Baptist preached the same thing in the wilderness. He said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This kingdom of heaven that had come near was Jesus. It was God fulfilling the promise he made long ago to Israel when he promised Abraham that a Savior would come through his descendants. Now, Jesus was this promise fulfilled, and he brought with him life and forgiveness of sins to all who believe his promise. And he brought with him peace. The peace that comes by knowing that God, through Jesus, has done everything for us to make us his children. And that's what lies behind the door. Now, the key to this door is not any earthly standing or good work done during one's lifetime. When John the Baptist preached this way in the wilderness, he knew that it would strike a chord against the Pharisees, because the Pharisees like to place confidence in their descent from Abraham or in their good works as though that were good enough to enter through the door. But John said to them, "Do not think you can say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.'" Instead, they needed to repent, to turn from their pride and sin, and to stop trying to please God on their own. And they needed to trust in Jesus as their Savior, who came to bring them the free gift of eternal life. So repentance and faith is the one key to the door of God's forgiving feast. This is not easy for the sinful nature to accept, because by nature, we'd like to think that we can do something to help ourselves. And that's why Jesus teaches that it's difficult to enter through this narrow door. He said, "Make every effort." Some translations use the word "strive" here. This word for physical striving, it's the same word that Paul chose to use when he encouraged Timothy to fight the good fight of faith. And when Paul wrote to the Corinthians about how athletes need to practice self-discipline, he used the same word to describe that physical struggle. All people need to do this striving because we all need to come to terms with the fact that faith alone saves and not any earthly wealth or position. And that's difficult for the sinful nature to do. Jesus calls this door narrow because only one person enters at a time. He is saying that large crowds of people do not all enter at once, as though there were a key that allows everybody who is of Jewish descent to enter, or a key that allows everybody who has led a perfectly good life to enter. No, Jesus is saying that there is one key to the door, and that is a repentant faith in Christ, as the Holy Spirit works that faith in each individual. Don't we struggle with this same concept? The Bible teaches us to fight against and to crush any notion that we could get right with God on our own. The psalm writer confesses that we have been sinful since the point of conception, and Paul preached that anybody who sins even once has fallen short of God's expectation and deserves to be punished forever. We need to come to grips with the reality of who we are and not who we think we might be, because nothing we do on this earth can save us. Yes, some will say, but I've been a constant member of this congregation since I was born, or I've been a part of a Lutheran family all my life. And while these things are certainly blessings, Jesus wants us to know that they are not the keys that open the door to the feast. Rather, he says, your faith, given to you by the Holy Spirit, is your key. And he asks us to strive to realize this, to believe this, and to live in such a way that reflects that faith. As it wasn't easy for Jesus' original audience to hear this, it's by nature not easy for us either. Because it's not easy to give up all sense of self-pride and self-righteousness. So Jesus asks us to strive. And that word for physical striving reminds us that we need to work hard at this every day. But as we strive, we find comfort when we realize that it's not up to us or who we are. If it were, we'd be in trouble. But the faith-filled heart will become convinced that Jesus' life, death, and resurrection is, in fact, enough. The more we realize that we are not what God wants us to be, what he asks us to be, the more God comes back to us and says to us, don't worry. And that's the feast. Faith is the one key that will open the door to that feast for you. The way to life with God ends at this door, and we enter by faith. But Jesus went on to say that there will come a time when the door will close and nobody will be able to enter anymore. Jesus said to the audience, once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you will stand outside knocking and pleading, sir, open the door for us. But he will answer, I don't know you or where you come from. Jesus warns the people that one day God the Father, who is the owner of the house, would close the door for good, and anybody standing outside would no longer have access. And the Father would say to them, I don't know you. Jesus said, then you will say, but we ate and drank with you, and you taught in our streets. But he will reply, I don't know you or where you come from. Away from me, all you evildoers. The people in Jesus' day were blessed to have Jesus walking in their streets. He taught them, he preached the gospel to them. They had a very good chance to hear and believe his message. But the mere fact that these people knew Jesus, or even that they ate dinner with him, would not be enough if they did not take Jesus at his word, if they did not believe his promise, if they did not trust in him as their savior, they did not have the key to the door. And the Father would say to them, away from me, all you evildoers. In this text, Jesus painted a dreary picture about what it would be like to be locked outside. He said, there will be weeping there and gnashing of teeth. The Bible tells us a lot about the horrible misery of hell, but Jesus wanted the people to know that that misery does not only come from the fire and brimstone. He said that it would be worse when they saw Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but they themselves thrown out. And this misery would only intensify, Jesus said, when they see that people will come from east and west and north and south and will take their places at the feast in the kingdom of God. All these people, Jews from Israel's history and non-Jews from all over the world, would come to enjoy the feast because they entered through the narrow door of faith. And Jesus wanted these people to know that they too could have the same joy if they did not refuse to enter when Jesus invited them in. Jesus said, indeed, there are those who are last who will be first, and first who will be last. In other words, there are some who nobody thought had even the slightest chance of being invited to the feast, who in fact would be there. And there are some others who everybody assumed would be there, but would in fact not. because Jesus wanted them to know the eternal feast is not for all of Abraham's physical descendants. It's not for all those who have been pretty good while on earth. No, the eternal feast is for Abraham's spiritual descendants, those who share the same faith that Abraham had. Moses recorded in Genesis that Abraham believed the Lord, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now is the time, Jesus wanted to say. Come to me, turn from your pride and sin, and place your trust in me. Many other times in Jesus' ministry, he taught that people needed to watch. Because the time when the door closes for a person, the time when God brings life to an end, is unknown. And the time when Jesus will return to separate believers from unbelievers, this also is a mystery. Jesus said, but about that day or hour, no one knows. Be on guard. Be alert. We are living in our time of grace, which is a time in our lives when Jesus invites us to believe in him and to find life with God. And 2,000 years after Jesus first spoke these words, his message in this gospel means the same thing for us. He invites us to enter through the door by faith. And so we keep watch during our time of grace. We keep watch by hearing the word in church and Bible class. We keep watch by setting aside time every day for personal devotion and prayer. We live as those who are waiting for our Savior to bring us to the feast. We get to confess our sins together as a congregation every Sunday at the beginning of the worship service. But Jesus did not intend repentance to be a once-per-week activity. Rather, as Martin Luther wrote in the first of his 95 theses, when our Lord and Master Jesus Christ said, repent, he willed the entire life of believers to be one of repentance. Then we will be truly ready for our Savior to return. Fellow believers in Christ, because of our faith in Christ, we don't need to worry that we won't be invited to the feast. We don't need to worry that somehow on a bad day we'll be caught standing outside the door when it closes. Because God has placed his Holy Spirit in our hearts, the Holy Spirit that he has graciously poured out on you and me at Holy Baptism. And God promises that he will see that faith through to its end result, which is the saving of our souls. As Paul reassured the Philippians, he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. On this earth, it does not matter whether we are rich or poor, whether we come from 8 generations of Christianity or just one. Jesus' arms are wide open to welcome people from wherever they come. American culture says, if you want something, you're going to have to earn it. We feel good about earning rewards throughout our lifetime. And Jesus asks us to work hard, not to earn our place at the feast, however, but to realize that, contrary to the custom of this world, he has earned our most valuable reward for us. There is nothing left for us to do. When it comes to life with God, we will struggle against this ideal all our lives. But the eternal feast is for all who believe Jesus' word and what he has done for us. God has given us this time of grace in which we can live in faith and share the same faith with others, that they too may enter through the same narrow door of faith. May God provide for us grace and peace until we sit down at the feast with him forever. Amen.